Hi, this is Rob and Mike from the McClellan Financial Group, and this is Think Smart with TMFG.
Rob, last week I heard a client come in and ask you about when he should take his Canada pension plan. How do you respond to that?
Well, it was interesting. It was a relatively new client, and they wanted to know, just in terms of their Canada pension plan, when they should take it. They're planning on retiring in the next year. And should they start taking their plan? They're just a few years before 60. And they also wondered about the old age security pension, when they should take that, and they were worried about clawback, etc. And I started to do some basic numbers on that. And what do you think I discovered when I looked at, you know, what was the best thing that they should do?
Probably numerically, it's going to say take it later, because there is, I know they changed around the plan, so now it's about, I think it's 0.6% per month that gets deducted if you take it earlier, and gets added on if you take it later.
Well, it was interesting. That's exactly what I found, is that you're better off to delay it. So in the case of the Canada Pension Plan, you should delay it till at least 65 and probably 70. For OAS, you are better to delay it to 70. And what it helped to do is guarantee a future higher income later on, when you may be in a position of running out of money at, say, age 85 or age 90. So it helped to eliminate that risk. But I thought, you know, quantitatively, that's the right answer. But qualitatively, is it the right answer? So have you experienced what I have in terms of, you know, if I look at the different clients that I work with, I think we need to incorporate some spending changes in terms of their plans. Especially for those who retire at 60 or 65, in terms of their travel budget and a few other things. What have you experienced in that area?
Definitely we see a fall off in travel from age 75 to 80. You know, after 80, trips generally become more domestic, I find. Traveling out of country becomes more of an issue, insurance becomes an issue, and these things really stunt the travel. I find during the early years, people who retire early, let's say retired 60 years old, will generally go through a pretty heavy travel budget. Usually people who want to travel, want to retire that early, one of their main goals is generally travel. And a lot of times they'll do all those trips they want to do, around the world trips. They want to go see Asia, they want to go see Australia, they want to go to trips to Antarctic and Arctic, and just different areas like that that they want to see.
Not only that, they're tending not to go for just a week. They're often going for weeks or months at a time. So, you know, if we looked at our planning and we said, you know, they typically thought they would have a $20,000 a year travel budget, maybe in that 60 to 65, it needs to be, you know, 150% of that or $30,000 a year. And then it probably trends down once they're 65 to 70 to maybe, you know, 125%. Down to $25,000 a year and so on. Would you stop the travel budget at 80? Do you think that's probably a reasonable expectation?
I think you still need something in after 80. There are still trips. People from 80 to 85 are able to do some travel. They'll go to family events. They'll have grandkids in the States. They'll go to a wedding. They'll do things like that. So that's still in there a bit. After 85, I've become very hindered to travel, but prior to 85, there's still a bit. But again, it's much less than they have in their 60s and 70s.
So let's look at a couple of other expenses that clients face in retirement. You know, cars is always an interesting one. You know, in my early days of doing financial plans, I would, you know, ask the client how often they would replace a car and what would the average purchase price of a new car be, you know, less whatever they got for their used car. And so often we'd use a number of $50,000 a year. I've actually discovered that sometimes I have many clients that actually go and lease it or do a 0% financing and finance the car over 4 or 5 years. So rather than a lump sum payment, we do it as a monthly payment. But do people need those cars, and are they likely to have two cars all the way to age 90? What's your experience in that?
Well, the one thing I think is true is the new car syndrome is a luxury for working people. So when you're working and you're making income, you can replace your car every 3 years. First thing once you hit retirement is to spread out that time that you own a car. So it's got to go from the 3 year always driving a new car, probably going to 5 to 7 years at that point in time. So it stretches out that car expense quite a bit. People run two cars generally through their 60s and through their 70s. Once we start getting into late 70s and 80s, many couples will cut back to one car. And so that's a definite cut in expenses. Also, the amount of distance they travel gets cut down quite a bit. So I have a lot of clients in their 80s with, you know, cars that are 5 years old with 18,000 kilometers on them. So there's a lot of those around with people that just don't drive them very much. And once you're getting over, once you're 85 or so, you probably won't be buying many new cars.
That's what I've found. You know, even after 80, I rarely see clients will make the step and get a new car. A, they're comfortable with the one they have. B, you're right, it has typically low mileage, and they just don't want to try and learn all the new technology, especially with the changes that are taking place today. Let's look at some other expenses. What about the house expense, sort of renovations? And typically what I like to say is they're going to spend at least 1% of the value of their home. So if they're in $1.5 million dollar home in Toronto, it's, you know, $15,000 a year. Do you keep that expense at $15,000 all the way through retirement?
Well, it's funny. We say 1% because people argue with 2%. But in reality, I find it, if you look at over time, it gets closer to 2%. When you look at all the expenses people have to put in, you have to include things like paint in your house. You have to include things like redoing your floors, putting new carpets in, do landscaping. There's some big expenses other than just the furnaces, refrigerators, and roofs and things like that. There's a lot of real big expenses that go with houses. So, yeah, you have to be at least 1% to 2%. I find that remains pretty consistent. Probably as soon as that starts to go down, it's a good signal that someone should think about leaving their house. Is what we find. There are, once people do hit their 80s, sometimes they do stop spending that money on their house. But that's at the point where they should probably consider a new housing alternative.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, one of the things you see is people just stop the upkeep, right?
Yeah.
They don't have the time, the energy. They don't want to bring someone into their house to work at their house for, you know, a month or whatever it takes to get the job done.
It's one of those signals we see. And when people ask when it's time to leave their house, these are signals that we see that mean it's about time for people to change the property they're in. If they stop maintaining their property, they stop putting money into it. And the reality of the new housing market we're in today, it's not like it was 2 years ago. Your house used to sell based on your postal code. No one looked at houses. As the housing market gets more tight, people want a house in decent condition.
Absolutely. So let's go back to, you know, the question about Canada Pension Plan. Should you take it early? You know, the Monte Carlo calculations that we do say, yeah, you're better off delaying it. But if you really look at people's spending, especially in that age 60 to 70 window, chances are quite a bit higher that their expenses are going to be much higher during that time period. So I actually think it's helpful to have that Canada Pension Plan and that old age security coming in to supplement what you're taking out of your investment portfolio or what you're taking from other pension income that you might have. It gives you a little extra cash flow when you need it most. You probably don't need it, you know, after age 75.
Yeah.
So, you know, financially, you run the numbers and you say, oh, you should take it, you know, delay it. The reality is, I would take the money as soon as you get access to it. I think that's the best situation.
Sometimes quality definitely beats quantity.
I would agree with that completely. I think that's great discussion for today. Again, this is Rob and Mike with the McClellan Financial Group, and today's episode, Think Smart with TMFG.
You have been listening to the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources, however, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the above, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances.